And now for my message today. I am going to read three passages of Scripture. I want you to find them. First of all, I shall read Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. If you'll turn in your Bibles and hold that place. Ephesians 5:16. Then I shall read Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. Then I shall read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 7. I repeat, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 7. As you're finding your place there, I trust that through the message you would whisper a prayer for the Spirit of God to work mightily in our midst today. We shall read these verses, but first I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that Thou wouldst take the reading of Thy Word and the enlargement thereupon and bring to our hearts the message that we need today. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What I have read you this morning could easily bear the dateline Fort Worth, Texas, USA, February 27. 1972. That is just how timely the Word of God is. I believe that you would agree with me that the things that Paul mentioned in all of these passages of Scripture are things that pertain to our day and our time. Paul speaks in Ephesians chapter 5 about redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I shared with the congregation last Wednesday night, a week ago, this fact that in New York City in 1971, more violent crimes were committed by 15-year-olds than any other age. The days are evil. Paul speaks again in Romans chapter 13. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. I ask you, what night is Paul talking about? I answer you that Paul is speaking of the night of this carnal, sensual age. The night of this period. The night of this dispensation. It is characterized by sin, by lust, by greed, by sensuality, by carnality, by apostasy, by the backslidings of God's people. It is characterized by restlessness, by uncertainty, by uneasiness. Even while the head of the greatest nation in the world today, I speak of our president and our nation, visits with and chats with the head of the largest nation in the world, almost four times our population, while they speak of peace, we are making preparation for war. And this doesn't surprise me for two reasons. First of all, the Bible says there is coming a day when men shall beat their plowshares into swords and their pruning hooks into spears, and nations shall fight. This is the prophecy of Joel. Nations shall rise against nation. Beloved, we are not about to see, and I am not a prophet of gloom, but we are not about to see an age of peace. We are headed for the most troubled, turbulent days that we have ever known. A smokescreen of peace overshadows the continent of Asia and the continent of the Americas, but underneath are the rumblings of war. For there can be no peace until we crown him the Prince of Everlasting Peace. Amen. Oh, I wish that you could know the shepherd's heart this morning. When I see people giving up their Sunday school classes, when I see families falling out of church, when I see people who are supposed to be concerned, people who are supposed to name the name of Christ, when I see them falling by the wayside, I wish you could know the shepherd's heart this morning. When I hear and when I read how men all over the world are denying this precious book, I wish you could know my heart this morning. These are turbulent, trying, difficult, hard, pressing, stressful days in which we live. You're going to be surprised at the topic of my subject this morning. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourself. It is later than you think. I speak first to you half-hearted, nominal Sunday Christians. I wish you could know the shepherd's heart this morning. I do not speak from anger. I speak from a heart of compassion. Amen. I speak from a heart of love. I speak from a heart of concern. You who think that you do not need a full and total commitment of your life to Christ, you who do not see the necessity of going the second mile, you who do not see the necessity of a program of witnessing and a program of missions and a program of soul winning, you who have not felt the need of a prayer at an altar, you who have not felt the motivating power of the Holy Spirit enough to get out of your places on prayer meeting night and frequent the house of God to hear the word of God. Hear me when I say it. I speak from a heart of love and compassion to you. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. You know, I really feel sorry for people who have just enough religion to keep them from enjoying the world, and just enough of the world to keep them from enjoying religion. That is a sad place. My heart bleeds. My heart cries for those who are in that status this morning. But I say to you, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Because I read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17 some awesome words. Will you listen to them? The time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. I wish you could know the shepherd's heart this morning. I read further in Hebrews chapter 10, the Lord shall judge his people. I read further in that same chapter in Hebrews, verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You church members that are half-hearted, on again, off again, here today, gone tomorrow, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. I speak secondly to those of you who can find pleasure in sin. You say to me, I am drinking the cup of pleasure. I'm reveling in my so-called good time. I have a word for you. You better enjoy it while you can, because it's later than you think. Because, beloved, as sure as God lives, as sure as you're here this morning, the time is going to come when your cup of pleasure will become a cup of bitterness, and a cup of sorrow, and a cup of shame and sadness. And that so-called good time that you're having out there in the pleasures of sin, you better enjoy it. It's later than you think, because your good time is going to become a bad time. It will become a time of shame and sorrow and heartbreak for you. For you see, there is a day of reckoning. The mills of God grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. There is a day of recompense. There is a day of reward. There is a day of reaping. There is a day of harvest. So you better enjoy yourself now. It's later than you think. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the wind shall reap the whirlwind. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I say to you this morning, if you are enjoying the pleasures of sin, go on and enjoy yourself, because it's later than you think. And the time of joy will soon become a time of sorrow. I speak in the third place to those of you who are intent upon going your way and never trusting Christ as your Savior. You say, preacher, are there people like that? I believe there are. I repeat, I speak to you who are bound, intent, bent over, determined never to trust Christ as your Savior. You better enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Eternity is a long time for you to pay for your sins. You see, sins must be paid for. Either you will trust Christ as your Savior, take Him as the substitute payment for your sins, or through the ceaseless, unnamed, uncountable, unnumbered years of eternity, pay the penalty of your sin. Either you pay or Jesus pays. I'm glad that I can sing this morning, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Enjoy yourself, mister. It's later than you think. Death is coming. It is appointed unto man once to die. Did you hear that? You have an appointment with death. The grim enemy of your soul, death. Visit the hospitals today. Visit the funeral homes. Look at homes where the wreaths are on the door. We don't really expect death, but death is coming. It is appointed unto men once to die. Oh, you could really enjoy yourself, mister, if death ended it all. But death does not end it all. For after this, after death, judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, judgment. Death, today, judgment tomorrow, and eternity always in a lake of fire. Don't hear much about hellfire preaching anymore. We've almost air-conditioned it. But hell is just as hot today as it ever was. Hell is just as real today as it ever was. And as sure as you go out of this life without Christ, you are going to hell. Doesn't sound much like a modern Baptist preacher, does it? But it's the truth. And I lift up my voice and I cry, escape that awful place we call hell, the lake of fire. You better enjoy yourself now if you're intent on going to hell, because it's later than you think. John says, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled, and there was found no room for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. The best bookkeeper you've ever known is God. Nobody erases. The pen never blots. God is writing. Every day God is writing, and the dead shall be judged out of the books according to their works. And death and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and every man was judged out of the books according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I tremble when I think about it. The books of God are open, and the book of life is open in heaven. And I see the bookkeeping angel going down the line. John Smith. Here, names written in the book. On and on it goes. But I ask you this morning, on that page, bright and fair, is your name written there? If it isn't, the book says that you will be cast into a lake of fire that burns forever. That is the awful end of every man who does not trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. What day, preacher? The day of God's eternal wrath. John writes about it in Revelation 6. John says, "And when he had opened the sixth seal, behold, there was a great earthquake, and the stars fell from the sky like a fig tree casting its untimely figs. And the sun was turned to sackcloth of hair, and the moon was turned to blood. And the mighty men and the captains and the bondmen and the freemen and all men cried out unto the rocks and mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to abide?" Joel says it will be a day of darkness. Alas, that great day is come, a day of gloominess, a day when the sun will not shine, nor the moon, a day when the stars will fall out of their sockets, a day when the heavens shall tremble and the earth shall quake. The day of the Lord is at hand. The night is far spent. I speak last to those of you who are saying to me, "Preacher, I'm going to be saved someday. I say to you, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh, you say, but preacher, I'll settle this all-important matter before I die. Wait. God said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. You see, the book says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come, for all things are now ready. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Tomorrow may be too late. For you see, there is a time, I know not when, a place, I know not where, that marks the destiny of men to heaven or despair. There is a line by man unseen that crosses every path that makes the difference between God's mercy and God's wrath. You better enjoy yourself, mister. It's later than you think. Over 12 years ago, I had one of the most frightening experiences of my ministry. I shared it with you shortly after that. I don't think I've shared it with you since. But when I was in Jacksonville, Florida last Sunday, I was reminded of it. Will you bear with me a moment? One day in 1959, I went to a man's house. He was on the front porch. I introduced myself. I engaged him in conversation. We talked about the things of his life. And he said to me, preacher, one of these days I'm going to do what you're talking about. But first, I've got a whole lot of things I must do. I said, well, and I'd never ask a man this question in my life. I said, well, his name was Barnett, Robert Barnett. I said, Mr. Barnett, he lived within the shadow of the Berea Baptist Church. I said to him, just suppose that something happens to you and they call Berea Baptist Church and they want us to come around and have your funeral. Well, that's sort of a blunt question, isn't it? If you think the question's blunt, you wait till I give you the answer. He said to me, you tell them that old Robert Barnett is one man that split hell wide open. Why, I almost fell off the porch. I had to ask him to repeat it, and he did. And I turned and I walked off from that man in the middle of November, and about 10 days went by and I went back. Same thing. I prayed with him. I wept with him. I read him the Word of God. You know what he said? I'm going to do it, preacher, but I've got some things I've got to do first. Oh, okay. So I went. I left his house. Along toward the middle of December, I went back. It was a little bit cooler by now, and he invited me in, the first time he'd ever invited me into his house. This time his wife was there. Come in, little preacher. I want you to meet my wife. And he stood tall and looked down at me. Come in, little preacher. I want you to meet my wife. And so I did. We went into his room and he sat down and we talked and we prayed and I read the Bible. He took a pen out of his pocket and there was a calendar just right there by the seat and he just circled January 6, 1960. That's the day. That's the day, preacher. I'll be there. You can count on me. Well, I said, in the meantime, and I asked him the same question. And his wife was seated right there, and she said, when he answered, she gasped for breath. And I left. And January 6 came, and no Robert Barnett. But the next day I went into my office, and there was a card on my desk that said, "We have the services tomorrow afternoon for Robert M. Barnett." I couldn't believe it. You see, he had said, "Little preacher, the 6th of January, the first day of the year, the first Sunday of the year, that's my day." But he never reached that day because Saturday night he was killed in an automobile accident. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." I say to you, if you are bent on putting it off, if you are bent on going your way, you best enjoy yourself, mister. It's later than you think. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we ask that you'd take this message this morning and drive it home to our hearts. Oh, dear God, this special burden of the shepherd's heart. Oh, dear God, may my people share this with me today. And dear God, I pray for those who visit with us, some maybe without Christ. May they come to know him, some little Sunday school boy or girl, some young person, some man stooped in age, graying in hair, in the twilight of life. I pray, dear God, the Holy Spirit would speak this morning. Husband and wife, whole families, individuals, whoever they are, bring them to Jesus. Bring them to the altar of prayer. Bring them to the church today before it is everlastingly too late. In Jesus' name we pray. While our heads are bowed, in a moment the choir is going to sing an invitation hymn. I want you in the congregation to remain with your heads bowed while they sing in a moment. If you're out there today, God speaks to your heart, and you're lost, and you've never really trusted Christ as your Savior. It's later than you think. It's much later than you think. Today is the day of salvation. Oh, you say, "But preacher, I've got plans." So did Robert Barnett. Oh, but it's different with me. God is the same. His laws and principles of justice and right and wrong have not changed. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. It may never come. You're out there and you're unsaved. I want you to come and trust Christ this morning. If you're out there as a Christian, maybe you're a member of Worth Baptist or a member of some other church, as a Christian, you feel in your own heart that things aren't just what they ought to be. They're not what you want them to be. I want you to step out to an altar prayer this morning while we sing the first stanza.